There may well be a few adult stories and the odd swear word during the course of this podcast. If this is something that you can't abide, please switch us off now. Well, a very warm welcome back to each and every one of you to the Beyond Canal Park podcast. That's Series 6 really getting into full swing now as the episodes just keep coming. Apologies for this one landing a wee bit later than planned. It's been a hectic week to say the least, but we got there in the end. Thanks to you all for tuning in again this week, and it really is another belter of an episode. Mark Holmes joins me today to talk through his career in football in the senior leagues with Cali, Falkirk and Ross County, the Australian leagues, and of course the Highland League with Clach, Forest, Bucky and Nairn, winning plenty of silverware and friends along the way. He tells me about his football academy at home and abroad in Ghana, and has a range of banter to share with us throughout the years as well. Of course, he names the best 11 that he played with, and here's what he had to say. I'm joined today by a man who started life as a player at Clach before moving to Inverness, Cali Thistle, under Sir Guy Bartacha, before heading down under to continue his football apprenticeship in Oz. Returning to his homeland, he represented Falkirk and Ross County before a colourful Highland League career with Forest, Bucky, Clach and Nairn. Still involved in the game now, he's a figurehead of a successful football academy and also assistant at Strathspey, I'm led to believe. So he's developing players at home and abroad. A very, very warm welcome to the Beyond Canal Park podcast to Mark Holmes. How are we doing tonight, Mark?
Oh, fine, James. Thanks for having me on.
Did I get all that right?
Yep, I know, you certainly did, yeah.
I only heard I only realised a couple of nights ago for Steve Rattray that you'd taken his role at Strathspey as assistant.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Steve was there before, so yeah, just helping out Charlie and that. So yeah, no, great. Thoroughly enjoying it.
Great. Well, a couple of guys have described you in your playing days as a live wire, but an excellent player, so you must have some stories ready to share with me today. How's the memory?
Oh, well, I'm sure I'll have quite a few stories to share with you anyway, so yeah.
Magic.
Perfect.
Well, I was like my guest to bring me right back to the start, and far the love of football began for them, who their influences were, their heroes, who they supported.
Yeah. My dad was a Highland League footballer. He played at Clach and he played at Rothes. But at the time I was sort of maybe getting to age sort of six, I was sort of getting into football. My dad was coaching for a school team, so just every Saturday morning he would have the whole team, and we'd be going and playing games against other schools and stuff, and training when we weren't playing games. So my father was a big influence on me, you know.
Magic. Who did you grow up supporting?
I like Thistle.
Aye.
Yeah, Inverness Thistle. Mm-hmm. So I was in the Drakeys sort of area, so it wasn't too far away from the ground, you know.
Aye. And who were the heroes back then? Who did you grow up watching?
Billy Skinner, Davy Mulroy, John Bain. Yeah, so who else was there? There was Jim Calder.
Oh,
so yeah, mm-hmm. Jim would be sitting in the bar on a Saturday afternoon on top of the crossbar. I mean, aye. Not at the bar. That was after the game.
Good quality. And looking, just not to give too much away, but looking at your best 11, you obviously want to play with at least one of them.
Yeah, went on to play with Billy Skinner, which was great. You know, Billy was a very good player, you know, and he was a big influence as well. Gotcha. Billy, you know, he was always encouraging to the younger players and that as well. So it was a pleasure to play with him, you know.
Quality. And growing up playing, were you better than others around you? Did you have a good group of boys you were playing with? Were you dreaming of being a pro like the rest of us?
Yeah, I always dreamt of being a professional. So what I wanted to do, just football was just such a passion for me at a young age, and always had a football at my foot, always practicing. So yeah, everywhere I went, the football went with me. It was like my best friend, basically.
Uh-huh.
That's just what I wanted to be. Just football mad. I was sort of slight as a player, but what I lacked in slightness, you know, I didn't carry much weight in that about me, but I certainly had the passion for it, mm-hmm. and had the ability as well.
Quality. And did you always play it wide?
Played some games as a wing back as well, and also played up front just whenever needed. But yeah, usually on the right wing. If it wasn't working out on the right, I'd go over to the left.
And get me a joy at the right back.
That's it.
So how old were you when, Clark came calling for you the, first time when you joined up there?
Well, I was maybe around 16. Yeah, I was in the reserves with Clark. They used to have a reserve team then, played in the North Caledonian League. So I was around about 16. John Innes and Jim Oliver played under them. And then Rossie Fraser, he was the first team manager at the time. And it just progressed into the first team. So yeah,
great experience really to learn from those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, both of them, they're Jim and John, they were very encouraging, you know. And and also when I reached the first team, Rossie was great as well. So no, it was really good.
Magic. And some good characters and players are in the club at that point with a good team.
Yeah, I mean, got to the qualifying cup final. Bruce McGraw, there was Alan Keddy, also Colin Sinclair, Colin Mitchell. So yeah, real good sort of Neil McCouche, real good sort of mix of sort of good balance of sort of older players and younger players. So yeah, it was really good dressing room.
Great, and he grew up fast in a dressing room full of men at that age.
Oh, absolutely. They're always trying to prank you and that, you know. But yeah, but it's probably me that probably pranked them a lot more than they did to me, you know. Yeah, so it was good fun there.
Brilliant. And was this when you were pipped for Young Player of the Year, the Highland League Young Player of the Year? Did that come later?
It came when I was at Clark, actually. Yeah, it came when I was there. So yeah, it was just, runner-up, Sunday Post Young Player of the Year it was, yeah. Maureen O'Keefe, he finished ahead of me. Then it was myself. Then it was Michael Stephen.
Okay.
You're
no bad company there.
Aye, absolutely. Yeah, Michael Stephen, obviously a very good player as well. And Marino, you know, he went on to good things too. So, yeah.
It must have been just before he went to Dundee United, was it?
It was.
What are we talking, 94, 95, something like that?
Probably 94 maybe. Yes, around about that sort of,
Great. So then, but you got your move yourself, didn't you, after Cali kind of, was this after Cali had merged?
Well, when Cali merged, I was still at Clark at the time, and then Danny McDonald, he was at Cali Thistle at the time, and Sergey Boltacha, so Sergey had seen me play in that, and I played under Sergey for a couple of years, before Steve Patterson came in, but Sergey was very encouraging to me. I got on very, very well with Sergey, and yeah, he used to sort of call me the Brazilian. There's always a football at my foot, and I'd be just like going from my house basically to just doing keepy ups like all the way to training. And he would come along Telford Street, and he would see me doing the keepy ups and that, like, as I'm everyone probably thinking I'm mad, like, you know, but I'm just doing the keepy ups along to training, and yeah, just practicing my ball skills off curbs and everything on the way. So yeah, Sergey was a great influence on me, so. Yes. And Danny as well. So
must be some vote of confidence that he wanted you and took an interest in you, because obviously Dynamo Kiev, he'd won European competition, didn't he? He played in, I don't know if it was World Cup, so European Championship certainly for the Soviet Union.
That's right. Yeah, I think, you know, you just liked it. I was always had a ball at my foot, you know, and just my skills and stuff like that. You know, it's just I think what you really took to. And he saw that I had the right attitude for it as well, you know.
Magic. So I think you highlighted to me one of the big highlights of that stage of your career was the debut against Queen's Park at just 18 years old.
I remember just getting the nod, you know, off Sergey. You know, I'd be playing to that day, and it was just it was amazing. It's just. Just the feeling that you had when your name got picked, you know, it was really good, you know. And I was lucky enough to get man of the match on my debut as well. I had a good game and that, so But Sergei sort of believed in me, and he used to take me aside for pep talks and that as well, which was really nice of him, you know, and took the time to get to know me. And he really did believe in me, you know, which was, and these types of managers you really want to play for as well, you know. So so it was really good, you know, and it's good support that day as well. All the family came to watch and stuff, and obviously good support in the Howden End, the old Howden End, and that, and in the around the ground. So no, it was really good playing with Big Archie and Charlie Christie and that, and they were really encouraging, you know. So cool, Mark McAllister and that, so it was great.
Great, and a great side it was to go on to do good things.
Absolutely, just progress through the leagues, you know.
Aye. Were you there at the same time as, there was a guy from Bath up there that's been John Scott. Did you overlap with John?
Yeah, I was there when John was there. Yeah, John came from Liverpool, and John's a really great guy, you know, so ended up playing for his father there years after that, you know. But yeah, again, John was very encouraging as well, and great with the younger players, you know.
And then another one who's got the coaching bug and is spreading his knowledge across the world, like yourself.
Yeah, John's in America, doing great things over there, you know. So yeah, it's good to see him getting on, you know.
And you mentioned some great characters there, but you weren't a shy in the old pranks yourself, and often your teammates used to find holes cut in their pockets.
Aye, absolutely. I mean, I remember Colin Mitchell, they would hide my clothes sometimes, you know. So one day I thought, right, I'm going to get him back. So I cut a hole in his pocket, his jeans pocket. And then what happened was he went into the shop one day, and even though he knew he had a hole in his pocket, he forgot about it that day. So he went into Roger's shop in Grant Street, and he had bought whatever he bought, but he got a lot of change anyway. That change ended up rolling down his leg and right along the ground, you know, and there he was picking up all the change and that, all embarrassed in front of the queue and that. And he came into training and it's like, Homsey, you bastard, like, you know, he says, I knew I had the hole in my pocket, but I've totally forgot, you know. And he was just, it was funny,
So it's no surprise that you tell me that a couple of your teammates dangled you over a bridge once.
Ah, yeah, that was Mike Noble. They were on a night out, him and Mark McCritchie and that. And I was actually, I must have been about, 17 at the time, and I'm doing keepy ups. I was actually selling the Green Final. Remember the paper, the Green Final?
Yeah.
I was going around the pubs and that, like, selling the Green Final. And I used to take my football with me, and then the punters would be, like, playing football at the door with me and stuff like that, you know? So anyway, I was crossing the bridge, and I bumped into them. They were on a night out at Barbarouski's, and they're like, Homsey. And so anyway, they came running over to me and that, like, and start kicking the ball and that. And then Mike picks me up by the legs, him and Mark McCritchie and that, and then they dangle me right over the bridge. I'm facing right down at the water, you know. It's quite a drop, you know. But luckily, I was really light, you know, so they were able to handle me. But you're thinking, with a wee drink and that, you're thinking, God, they could drop you here, you know.
change days. Imagine that commute new at two players dangle the young boy over the bridge.
For sure.
You kind of grew up in football, probably for me the right time, if our characters were still allowed to thrive.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. It's where, you know, men were men and boys were frightened, you know. They just really had to grow up quick in these dressing rooms, you know. Crack.
Aye. So how did things end at Cali? Obviously, you eventually ended up on the other side of the world, so what happened there?
Yeah, well, I was still at Cali Thistle, and I was still going to be staying with them, but then it was actually George Cowie, who I'm sure that you'll know of. George, he was at West Ham and Hearts, and he had contacts when he was at West Ham. He had contacts that was in London that had moved to Australia, and they were looking for players. So there was myself, Jamie McPherson, and Johnny Seaton. We were invited to go and go over to Australia and play. George had recommended us, and it was his recommendation that got us over there. So that was really good.
I had Jamie Watt on last week, the Vale player, and he's now that's a D manager. He played in Australia, and he absolutely loved it. He said it was a great experience playing down there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I loved every minute of it. Like, you know, I was I was lucky to get over there, and thanks to George, and so it was really good. You know, really good experience, and met a lot of good people there. You know,
successful time as well. I think judging for you for your notes here.
Yeah, I started off with a part-time team called Newmarket, and Newmarket hadn't won the league, and we were on that season, and we won the league, which was amazing. We were into the grand final. They have like playoffs over there, and then we got into the grand final, and I scored in the grand final.
Magic.
And and we won that season, so it was amazing, like, you know.
And you progressed as well, didn't you? Playing in the National League and big stadiums and alongside internationals.
I mean, after Newmarket, I went to a club called Kapalaba, which was run by Alan Prentice, who was ex-Hamilton footballer. So Alan took me to Kapalaba, and I played there. And then Frank Farina, who was he was the international manager for Australia, and he played at Bruges and Barry. Frank took me to the Brisbane Strikers, who played in the old National League at the time. So I was there for a while, but then I had visa problems. So that's how they had to pay me a certain amount of money, apartment, car, and that. And the club just couldn't afford what the government were asking for. So that sort of scuppered things, you know, but I mean, it was a great experience. There were 7 internationals in the team. Boy Stuart McLaren, he's actually in Scotland now.
Oh, aye.
Stuart, but I think Stuart might have been at Kilmarnock. There's an excellent experience, you know.
Amazing,
playing with these guys, you know. And, you know, they're very physical out there. They were quite physical, maybe not as technical. Some players were, but it was definitely, it was quite a physical sort of, because I wasn't physical, I just used my other strengths that I had, and it seemed to just work out. And Frank, he did really like me, you know, but it was just the visa problems that I had, you know.
Aye, nightmare. Is that the National League at the time? Was that the top league?
It's the top league,
The A-League now.
That's right, but they used to play their games at the Suncorp Stadium, which holds about 52,500. Suncorp, you know, I was just, Frank was really good with me as well. He saw that I had the right attitude and that, and really enjoyed my time with them. It's just unfortunate the way things panned out, but no, I loved every minute of Australia.
Did that experience make you a better player, a better person?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you grow as a person, you know, a player and a person, you know. You're having to deal with things out there on your own. You're in the other end of the world, basically. And back then, there wasn't like mobile. Well, I never had a mobile phone. You know, everything was through letters and that, and you'd be waiting maybe a couple of weeks for a letter.
Getting Aaron Brew sent out in a care package.
That's it, a doggy bag. That's the one, you know, you'd be waiting for that doggy bag for your skin, you know. It was just
Did you work out there as well?
No, I just played football. Just played football, but I loved every moment of it. It was really good, you know.
Magic. So you were kind of forced to return there. How long were you there for? Was it just a year?
Altogether, because I went back twice, so altogether, maybe about a year and a half.
Magic. Do you think if there hadn't been visa problems, you'd have stayed?
Oh, without a doubt. Definitely, you know. I loved it out there. It was good. You used to just train at night time every night and then just put, I loved it. It was good.
There may be an Oz branch of the academy before long.
Yeah, well, you never know, because I mean, I've still got contacts out there, so that's a great shout, James.
There we go. Well, I get a percentage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So on your returns, you had several interesting trials and did well in quite a lot of them, and some good experiences with some good players and some good managers in the process.
Yeah, I mean, when I had an agent, actually, Jake Duncan. Jake was the... he was actually Wham's George Michael's music promoter in that, you know, and Pavarotti and some other guys, you know, Ozzy Osbourne. And
They've all done all right.
Like a tour manager, he used to be. That's what he was. He was a tour manager. So he was really into music and that. But then he got into football agent stuff. So he sort of, he was representing me. And to be fair to Jake, he did. He got me quite a few trials and that, which was good, you know, and a great experience as well, you know.
Some good teams and players that you were involved with.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Dundee. I thought I did pretty well, actually, at Dundee. Didn't sign for Dundee. That was under Jim Duffy. Mm-hmm. But again, got on well with all the lads and that. That's when Billy Thompson was there. Chick Carnley was there.
Oh, yeah.
He used to come in with his Al Capone shoes on. There'd be that sort of, a pinstripe suit and the black and white shoes, you know? Yeah, just waiting for him to take his wee spud gun out, you know? He was quite a character, like, you know? But he was good, but he was great crack chick. Gavin Ray was there, Ian Anderson was there. Mm-hmm. Roy McBain, they had a great blend of sort of players, you know. Darius Adamchuk. So I really enjoyed it there. Robbie Rayside, that was another one. He was a great lad. Jim Hamilton. One of the local boys that you'll know of, uh-huh. Jim Hamilton.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Cool. He was there, so but I didn't go end up signing for Dundee or that. Then I was at Dunfermline with Dick Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Was that when you got the Rollick in fair?
No, I tell you, I went to Dunfermline in trial for one game, and I scored two in that game. And then they had a game coming up, so he said to me, "Can you come back the following week?" So I says, "All right, okay." So. But within that week, I didn't have time to wait about, so I went to trial with Dundee then. And it just so happens that when I went in trial with Dundee, which I didn't realise, was that I was changing in the dressing room and that, and I left my clothes. I was training that morning and the game was in the afternoon, but Dundee were playing Dunfermline. So it just so happens that I go and clip my clothes, take it into the first team dressing room at Dundee, and I'd got changed in the other dressing room in the morning. And here's Dunfermline, Dick Campbell is giving a talk and that, and I've gone in to get my gear and that, and get ready for the game against him. And he's like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" You know, he was flipping like, and I says, "Hey," you know, so, you know, I couldn't sort of wait about and that, you know, and he says, "Right, get fucking out," he says, you know. So that was it. And do you know something? And then he sort of realised, you know, like what he had said, you know, and he went a wee bit sort of red and that in the face and that. But by then, like, I was quite young, he's 21 or whatever by then, and it just put me off, you know. And the damage was done, and I'd done well actually for Dunfermline. Mark McCulloch was there at the time, and me and Mark were in school together, you know. And played together as well. So, and I'd actually done really well, and I would have gone back to Dunfermline, but that sort of put me off a bit, you know. And then I went to Partick Thistle under Murdo McLeod, played a game there, just one trial game, but nothing came off that. Then I went with Kevin Drinkles, joined him over at Stirling Albion for a few games and scored three goals actually for Stirling Albion, one against Dundee United, and Arbroath was other ones. It was just like closed doors matches and that while on trial. But then Kevin got sacked. So then Ray Stewart, that was at West Ham, Ray Stewart was there. And Ray says, "Look, Mark, we really like you, we want you in that, but then your agent's asking for too much money." So I was like, "Oh, so now I'm in a predicament." And he says, "Look, if you get rid of your agent, then we'll take, you know." But I was under contract with the agent and everything. I couldn't do that anyway. So that got complicated. And then Sergey, he had actually joined St Mirren. And he was there in the coaching staff, and he invited me to go to St Mirren. And, you know, I was very honest with my performances and all the trials that I had. I thought, you know, I was very either unlucky not to be signed, or I never signed for one thing or a reason. But when I went to St Mirren, for the first 25 minutes, like we played Livingston, And I'd such, you know, I started off really lively and done pretty well. And then after that, I just faded out of the game. Okay. And I thought, oh, God, I was playing up front with Jerry Creaney. He had come back from Man City. It was at Celtic, you know, and played up front with Jerry and that. And, you know, I was more a winger than a front man. But if I got used up front, then I was used up front. I didn't complain as long as I was playing, you know. And it just so happens that after 25 minutes, I started to fade a bit. I just travelled from Inverness to Glasgow, basically got my stuff on. You know, and no excuse. I just didn't play well after that. And yeah, I was quite honest with it. And I was that embarrassed. I put Burton O'Brien, and that was there at the time. Steve McGarry might have been there as well. Ludovic Roy, he was in goals. That's and true. That, you know. Livingston, John Robertson, he was on the bench that day. But John was, he was there. They had the boy Alexander in goals for them as well, going to Rangers and that. But yeah, no, but I didn't do that well at that, in that game, and I thought, I let myself down. I was embarrassed with myself, but I don't think anyone noticed that. They thought I had a bad game or that, but I was quite hard on myself. So I just went straight after the game, and what happened then was Sergey's on the phone to my mum and dad, because he knew them as well, and Sergey's on the phone to my mum and dad then saying, oh, Mark, I didn't see Mark after the game and that, can you get him to ring me when he comes in and that? And I says, look, Sergey, I feel I've let you down and blah, blah, blah. And he says, no, you never, I thought you did well, I want you to come back. But I just got put off, it's just one of them. I think after all those trials and then doing so well in trials and then maybe nothing coming off one or a few of them and then going there and then not doing well, it just didn't sit well with me.
Confidence player at the best of times, you need to be right sort of mentally to perform.
I was quite a confident player, but it was just, I think I was just really hard on myself.
Not quite Marco de Barros levels, but I needed to be 100% to even get on the pitch.
Aye, that's it. Oh, no. It was just one of those ones where I felt I let Sergey down. But he did. He wanted me back, and he wanted me back the following week and that. I think I just got a wee bit disillusional there at the time, like, you know. I think when I reached Paisley and I saw the, you know, I just thought, I couldn't see me sort of being here. As well, you know, it just didn't suit me, you know. So that was maybe an opportunity that maybe something could have happened because Sergey was there and he knew what I could do and, you know, and he believed in me. And I think so, yeah. But then I went and traveled with Falkirk and did well for Falkirk and that, and they offered me a short-term contract. So so I was there for a little while, and then that was under Emma Bann and Walter Kidd. But then things sort of got reneged a wee bit in the contract and that, so things changed in terms of that. So I left there. It was a great experience. And then Neil Cooper, he was the manager of Ross County, and then he took me to Ross County. So that was the sort of Scottish League sort of stuff and that, you know. But I thoroughly enjoyed my time under Neil, and there was some, you know, characters in that dressing room as well. Jerry Farrell and Stevie Ferguson as well, you know, Kevin Morgan, Neil Tarrant, he won Aston Villa and that. We actually signed the same day, me and Neil Tarrant. So he went on to Aston Villa and I went to the Highland League. He did great. It's good to see players getting on, you know.
So was that Ross County still in the third division then?
They were still in the third then, And it was a local club, you know. It wasn't too far from my house and that as well. So that was a good experience. Gola Beck, Stuart was there and that as well. It was good, you know.
So was it your decision then to come back to Highland League, or did things just not work out at Ross County?
To be honest, I did all right at Ross County. You know, I was playing a lot in the reserves in Ross County, and Yeah, I was doing actually pretty well at Ross County in the reserves and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was training every, you know, with the first team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was there playing with the first team, and I didn't look out of place or anything. But it was just maybe lack of chances. Mm-hmm. You know, we played Forfar in a friendly. The first team were playing Forfar in a friendly as well. So in the reserves, we're playing Forfar in a friendly in the pitch behind the stadium. And then Neil says, look, we'll play at half-time, play one half for the reserves, play one half for us. And I says, oh, yeah, no bother. And first half of against Forfar, ripped them apart. Second half, I'm still on that pitch, ripping them apart. I thought someone was going to come over and say, Homsey, you're right, you come over, you know, and I go over into the stadium and play like against the first team of Forfar. And it just so happens that no one came over, and I didn't know what was happening, so I just stayed. I just stayed, and then the Forfar reserve team manager, he came over to me after, straight after the game, and he says, I tell you what, you ever leave Ross County, you cool. come and sign you for sign us, for us, he says, because I ripped them apart, like, you know. And then we played against Dundee as well, and I did really well against Dundee for Ross County, you know, in a closed doors and match and that as well, and played in the, it was a Scottish Cup, maybe a Scottish Cup against Elgin as well, for Ross County and that, and that was with Derek Adams and that, you know, so his first team. So yeah, but yeah, just for one thing or another, it just, you know, even the reserves, we had some good players in that reserves that just, like even Julian Broadall, you know, they signed him and that, you know, but I was playing a lot with him and the reserves and that as well, and he'd been at Sheffield, I think, and a lot of clubs down England, that, you know, so but no, I mean, it was you know, it was, enjoyed my time there too, you know.
So back to Highland League, and it was Forest the first club, wasn't it? Forest Mechanics.
Yeah, played with Forest, yeah, so no, I enjoyed my time at Forest. I had two spells at Forest, actually.
Okay, aye.
Two spells there. Can't really remember the year, but yeah, but one was under Davy Milroy, and the other one was under Alan Scott. So I think after going back from Ross County, it was under Alan Scott. Yeah, but I'd already been at Bucky with Alan Scott, you know. Okay. So so that was the connection there, you know, and I got on really well with Alan and Billy Anderson, you know. They were a good team together,
good,
you know, they
worked really well.
Aye, they were, you know, they were good friends, and it, you know, see in the dressing room, a good cop, bad cop sort of thing, you know. But I just got on great with both of them, you know, and they really brought out the best in me.
Good man, you know? Managers, Billy especially.
Yeah, I mean, Alan's humour was probably quite dry and that, but he was, you know, but we connected so well, you know, and yeah, okay, he'd phone you up and you'd still be on the phone 3 hours later, Alan, you know, talking about football and that. He was just a total football man.
Just loved his football,
aye, and Billy was good crack and that, you know, and arm around the shoulder as well, and same as Alan, you know. I really loved the both of them.
Great.
You know?
Great.
Yeah.
And you won the North of Scotland Cup while you were at Forest, at least in one
That's
of the sports.
Right.
I think you tell me you played in three of that finals of your Highland League
career. Yeah, I played twice with Forest and once with Clark. Yeah, so no, they were a good experience. But they used to be televised North of Scotland Cup finals and that, you know, which was good. So it was quite a big thing back then as well, you know, in the Highland League. So, but no, it's just unfortunately out of that three. Lost two and won one, but no, won it under Forest. So that was a great day. We played Clark, you know, and managed to beat them, you know. So, and they had a good side, Clark, then as well. So that was at Victoria Park over in Dingwall, you know. So I think Caledonian Broadband, they were there that day. They were covering the match, and no, it was brilliant. It was really good, you know. Until the Caledonian at Broadband chap, he was interviewing me, you know, and I was actually injured. I was in a bit of I was in a car accident. So, so Alan had actually picked me for the final, I'd just come back maybe a game or two before. Then I was out with injury and that, and the chap from Caledonia Broadband, he started interviewing me with a mic, and so anyway, it's like, oh, I was doing the warm-up, and he says, you've been doing brilliant, your last game was excellent, and, you know, last week and the week before, and, you've had a great month of playing football, and that, you know, I haven't even played, you know? So, and I'm going along with him and that, like, you know, and then I says, I think you've got the wrong guy here. I says, I've been out injured for I don't know how many months, you know, and his face just I total stitched him up, you know, but it was just a bit of banter, like, you know, but he took it in good jest, you know, but right. They made a video of it, and it's circulating somewhere, that video of my interview, and it still gets a chuckle. I think Charlie Brown, I'm sure he had it at one point, like, right. But I'm sure someone at Forest, they're one of the players, will have it, you know.
And it was great to win that cup for Alan after he put his faith.
I mean, looking over at Alan, you know, and Billy, you know, I mean, it was great, like, looking over at Alan. So just the joy in his face that day, you know, it was just lovely to see, because you see how hard these guys work behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
And I certainly appreciate that now that I'm an assistant with the Highland League club, and what goes on, you know. I mean, I don't. You know, as a player, all you have to do is turn up and put your boots on and play. And but to see Alan and the Forest supporters that day celebrating, and that was amazing, you know. And actually ended up selling my North of Scotland Cup medal for to one of the real staunch supporters there.
Okay.
I sold it to him, you know, and I donated the money to a charity and that, you know. So great. It was great for him to be able to have that, you know. So, yeah, super, you know.
You mentioned Charlie there, but was that a good bunch of guys you were playing with for us?
Yeah, I mean, there's Charlie Riley there? Charlie Brown, anyway. Mm-hmm. Had a good bunch of lads there at the time. Michael Sanderson. Who else? There's just trying to think. God, it was so long ago now. Charlie Riley, I think Charlie Riley was playing that game. Gavin Nicholson. Okay. So there's quite a few guys that are still about, you know, that I still see now and again, you know. So, Scott Matheson, he was another one as well. Ryan was there. Ryan Green. It was really good, you know. My memory of that day will be Charlie dropping the cup, the lid on his son's head. The son must have been about 2 years old, you know, and he drops it on the wee boy's head, like, you know. So I remind him now and again, you know.
Aye.
So I'm sure he'll have a photo somewhere of it, you know. good times.
And you had another spell back to Clark, was that after that? Was there another qualifying cup under the belt there?
Was that the first time or the second time? Maybe that was the second time, actually. So long ago, you know.
Did it feel like you were going home there?
I enjoyed my time there, you know. It was that was under Brian Black. It was under Brian Black, so no, I enjoyed my time there, but then I just moved on after that, you know. But Clark are always I always loved my time at Clark, great supporters, and you know, they had a real sort of good mentality in the dressing room, which I liked, you know. Aye. So
it was good for you, but maybe not so good for your teammates who you were feeding dog biscuits to. What's that about?
Aye, well, when we were playing away trips, I'd wait till they got really, really drunk, you know. And then what we'd do is myself, either Norman Thompson or Scott McLeod, we would feed the boys biscuits, but unfortunately they were dog cookies. So once they had a few in them and that, like, you know, especially Colin Mitchell and that, you know. Once he had a few in them, they'd be eating the dog biscuits and not even know, you know. Oh, it's so funny, like, you know, looking back, you know. So it was certainly memorable times, you know. I remember passing, we were passing up by Dornick, it was, mm-hmm. and Jim Oliver shouts, "Drop them!" Like that, and we're all in the bus, you know, and it was a motorbike convention. And there was all, you could see all these Harleys and big, huge guys with big beards and that, you know, and he's like, "Drop them!" We're all at the window. There must have been about like 24 arses at the window, like, you know, the driver's tooting the horn, you know. I think it made the Dorner Gazette, actually, you know. It was funny.
A heap of hairy bikers chasing you that night.
Aye, yeah. Oh, it was funny, like, you know. But it raised a good laugh, even from the bikers, you know.
Must be some good bus journeys doing for Clark to have the Aberdeenshire teams.
Definitely. Oh, without a doubt, you know. But I think the worst class journey I was ever been on those, we were playing the Scottish Cup against Stranraer, and we were only, we weren't that far from Stranraer, and then we were told the game was off. And then we had to go back the following week, and I think we got beat. Was it 1-0 or 2-1? We got beat, like, when we went back down and played them, you know. So, yeah, it was good times, though, you know.
Great. And I know, for speaking to Stephen Rattray this week, that he's had a good time at Bucky Thistle when you played there as well. And you had a bit of success on the pitch, I think. You helped him at second in the league, and personally you were the clubman of the year there at one point.
Yeah, I had a good season at Bucky, you know. I had a lot of good players around me. Scott Anderson, Levi, Stephen Rattray, you know.
Great team.
Yeah, Mike Ray in goals, you know. We had a really good team, you know. Paul Lamberton, Mickey McPherson, all these guys, you know. So, Mara. There was a great bunch of lads, like, you know. But I think
Luggies there that success, season as well.
It was. Thompson, Brian was there too. Yeah, Brian was there. We forged a good partnership, me and Brian as well. You know, he was a bit of a roundabout to get by, you know, for players, you know. You know, and one day, you know, every game every Saturday I would turn up with a new suit, you know. Now, I didn't have a lot of money back in those days, you know, so what I'd do is I'd go to TK Maxx, I would keep the label on and that, and tuck it back up, you know. So anyway, every week I'd be turning up with a new suit. So Brian's he caught me one day, and we're in the dressing room, and he's like, "Holmesy," he says, "you got so many suits and that." And then I says, "Oh, hi, hi, hi." See, I'd return it on the Monday, you know. So I'd try and keep it clean, like, you know. So anyway, he says, "So this day, I've gone to TK Maxx, but I couldn't find a suit that fitted me." So I'm like, damn. So anyway, I get these huge trousers. They were huge. They were, if it was a windy day, I would have been blown away, you know. So anyway, I've gone into the dressing room, and I've first one to notice, Brian Thompson. The arms are a bit long in the sleeves, and the trousers are just like a sail, you know. So anyway, I've gone in, he's like, "Homsy," you know, and they start speaking the Doric, you know.
Aye.
And I says, "Look, I signed for Bucky, but I didn't, you know, I didn't have a translator, you know, that wasn't part of the agreement, you know." So then all the boys are laughing and that, you know. So anyway, he then translates and says, "What the fuck, what are you wearing?" And that, like, I says, "What?" And he says, boys, look. So anyway, he comes over, he sees my belt wrapped like to the tightest hole, like, you know. And and then he's like, get them off. They didn't even fit his big fat arse, you know. And you know Brian, like, he's got a fat arse, so they would not fit his arse, like, you know. And it was just all the boys, it was such a crack in that dressing room. And that togetherness is what can also bring success, you know. We just threw one or two games away, which was disappointing, you know. But I mean, the camaraderie in that dressing room, I think, was what, you know, sort of drove our team. And, you know, we had a real good blend of youth and experience in there as well. And I think that crack in the dressing room, you know. Mm-hmm. You could, I mean, if on a night out, you know, if you were having a few drinks or that, you could never leave your drink alone, or Mara's teeth would be in the bottom of it, or, you know, or it'd be stuff like that, just silly stuff, like, you know. So, it's good, you know.
And you got 18 goals for the wing, didn't you? So you must be flying there.
I scored a lot of goals for Bucky and that, you know, but I, you know, like I say, I was surrounded by good players that were able to assist me, and you know, and I was able to assist them as well.
Levi putting balls in a sixpence.
I mean, it was just one of those, you know, that he knew where to find me as soon as he had the ball and that, you know, and I really thoroughly enjoyed my time at Bucky, you know, and I only left him because, you know, it was just a wee bit far for the travelling and that, you know. But I mean, they were a great bunch of lads and that, you know, and I just, I'm so glad, you know, and the supporters were absolutely superb in that as well. You know, I had a good rapport with the supporters and the team, you know, so.
A few of the Bucky boys I've heard on have said that the fans were great with them.
Really good, you know, they were very supportive in that, and like I say, that togetherness in the dressing room and, you know, off the pitch and that as well with the supporters and that, you know, and I think that's very important for a club, you know, to have that bond in the dressing room and with the support, you know.
You mentioned there that you, with the suits, that you didn't have a lot of money back then, but did you supplement that by selling brown designer socks out of sacks?
Aye, well, that's another thing. you heard about that one.
I ain't sneaked in, aye.
Well, I'd actually, you get them job lots, you know. Lots of clothes, you know, that you can buy and sell on.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I was always like had this entrepreneurial sort of ideas in my head, you know, something like that. So anyway, what happened was the clothes really didn't go to plan. I bought this sort of box, two boxes of clothes, and I thought, right, I'll be able to design it. I thought, you know, well, that was what was on the label until I opened them. And then, like, it was just ridiculous, the stuff that was in them, you know. So anyway, I gave them this boy down the ferry in Inverness, and he was going round the door selling the stuff and that. And when I came back to him 2 weeks later, have you sold the stuff? I sold the stuff. I turned up, and I'm not joking, like, I don't know how many 1p's and 2p's I had. There was all the change. Not a pound note to be seen, you know. It was all a change, you know. So I had a bit of a loss, you know. So Billy caught wind of this. I says, Billy, look, I'm struggling here, like, you know, to sell these clothes. Holmesy, leave it with me. He says, I've got these promotional T-shirts that I get through the bars and that. Yeah. I'll give you a couple of bag loads of these and you'll be able to sell them. So, I think it was a Beastie or something.
Oh, the wee Beastie.
The wee Beastie, that was the ones, and the tenants. And I tell you what, like, I wish they'd give me a few more bags. That's it. They flew off the shelf and I recuperated the money, you know. So that was brilliant. But that's the type of sort of guys that they were. They looked out for you and they helped you. And, you know, you just, you'd run through a brick wall for these guys, you know.
Magic. Is it true that you once scored a 22-yard overhead kick?
And if Stephen Rattray denies that, then
he says the yards get bigger every year.
We were playing Clark. Unfortunately, we actually lost against Clark in that game, who was that news reporter? Was it David with the moustache? He worked for the P&J.
Oh, Dave Edwards.
Edwards. Just the last name's gone out of my head, but I know Dave well. But yeah, David had mentioned it when I ran the Clubman of the Year, the awards and that, and he had said it was the best goal he had ever seen at Victoria Park. The ball would come over from a cross, but it was a deep cross, sort of more from just between the halfway line, the byline. Andrew Allen, yeah, he was playing for Clark at the time, he used to be at Cali Thistle, and he was quite a tall lad. And I just, like, it's just one of them. I had back to goal, and just out of nothing, I just sort of just did this bicycle kick, and it flew right into the top corner and left Martin Ray just standing in the line, just wondering where the ball was, you know. And, a couple of seconds later, he's picking it out, you know, and I'm up past the Clark fans, you know, giving it the big word, and they were baying for my blood that day, you know. But
is that once in a career goal, that?
It was just banter on my part, you know. It was just absolute banter, but it was just one of those you know, hits. It might have gone over the bar or it could have gone wherever, you know, but that day it just landed right in the stanchion, like, so it was, it was just one of them. It's just a shame that there's no phones, you know, back in the way there is now.
You'd be viral by now if that was the case.
Aye, absolutely. Yeah, fuck, I know.
So I'm assuming that you didn't get sent off too many times in your career, but one ref that sent you off certainly paid the price, didn't he? And his assistants.
Well, I got sent off once or twice, James, you know, just once or twice. We'll keep it at that anyway. For my kids at my academy, I've never been sent off, you know, but try and teach them good habits, you know, but you learn from your experiences. But yeah, Scott McDonald, I don't know if he's still at Nairn or not. He was the ref that always did his wee warm up in his in the vest and that, you know, and it was nothing personal with Scott, like, you know, but this time we were playing against Wick at Station Park, and the left back had elbowed me right in the face. So that was the first one. They did nothing about it, and then ball went out for a throw on the left hand side near the dugout, and the boy had like slapped me right in the back of the head. So I'd sort of just pushed him back, sort of just in the face a wee bit, like, you know, and but I was the one that got sent off. I was enraged by that, like, you know, and that, you know, the dugout were enraged, Ronnie and that, you know, and I was like, what? I was raging, like, you know. So anyway, I thought, right. So I knew that they had a little cupboard in the, just as you go through the tunnel where the ref puts a key in that for the dressing room. So I says to the water boy, I says, right, give me the water bottles. Now, I didn't know who were the ref's clothes. Was it, you know, because, like, obviously there's like the ref and the two linesmen. But put it this way, I was making sure that I got the ref's clothes. So all the water bottles emptied all over all the clothes, everything, like. So the linesman and Scott and that, they went home in their pants that day. And, you know, and it was just a bit of banter too, like, because I love the crack, like, you know, but I was a bit enraged at that time and a bit unjustified. So, but when I look back, how mental is that? You know what I mean?
Okay, you just couldn't get away with things like that
now. No. Oh, I know, absolutely, you know, but they went home in their pants that day. Well, they were going to get the police involved in that. And I didn't know how serious that, you know, it was just a bit of banter on my part, you know, but they were all the clothes were soaked. They're there with the going under the with a bag, you know, of clothes going out with their towels wrapped around them. And that, what a laugh! I was laughing, and Peter and Matt and Tosh and that, they're like, "Oh, is he saying nothing? You know, just say nothing, you know." But it was good banter. But they still talk about it this day. You know?
Aye, that's the things you remember, eh?
Aye.
So you played for Nairn High League as well, and you helped them to their highest league position. I think you said since 1975 under Ronnie Sharp.
That's right, James. Yeah, it was. I think we finished fifth that year. You know, obviously, I'd rather finish first, but we did have a good season for Nairn, you know, at the time, you know, and I was really pleased to have been able to help them do that. You know, surrounded by good players, Gary Facker, Scott Kelliker, Mike Ray in goals, you know, and. David McDonald as well, and Gareth Smith and Ian Brooks and Willie Barron, you know, so it was a good blend of players, Gary Ewing, you know, so it was again a bit of experience and you know, Mo McMillan and that, so he was a good steward for Nairn and that as well, so I it was really good. You know, I enjoyed my time under Ronnie too, you know.
I had
John Seaton was there too.
I had Mike Gray on, and obviously he was at Rangers as a youngster, but he really enjoyed his time in there, and he's obviously was still there.
Well, he's just left, I think, recently.
Just recently.
He's been there for he went back there, and Mike's a good lad, you know.
Great. And but Ronnie, a good gaffer as well. I think he used to give you a pet all to get to training, didn't he?
I phoned him one day. Ronnie was a great guy. I still see Ronnie from time to time for a tea and that, you know. And I phoned him up one day. I said, look, Ronnie, I'm really struggling to get a training and that. He says, oh, Holmesy, what's up in that? And I says, look, Ron, I haven't got money to get petrol through in that. I've got money. I say, I've got money to get there, but I ain't got money to get back. He says, well, you're fucking walking then. He says, you're fine walking, but you're coming to training tonight. You're not playing on Saturday. So anyway, I said, oh, perfect. You know, I says, oh, Ron, come on. Like, he says, I'll tell you what, Ron, If you give me petrol, get home, like I'll come to. Aye, don't worry about that. So at the end, he says, right, Holmesy, how much are you wanting for petrol? We got 100 quid, Ron. 100 fucking quid, he says. He still reminds me. He says, he just couldn't believe it. He says, oh, you're some boy, like, you know. Oh, just to tie me over, Ron, you know. He's getting a bit of banter, you know. It's funny, man. It's good that, Ron.
Magic. I forgot to ask you a bit. Is this a fun fair story you had written, Dean? You did a disappearing act.
I'd actually got taken off injured, and Scott McLeod, he was playing that day for Clark against Fraserburgh, and he got taken off. So anyway, the manager, it was Roshi at the time, and Roshi's like, where the fuck's Ozzy? Where the fuck's Ozzy? He's like that, like, and Scott, and they're all looking about in that light, and then someone says, oh, they're away at the shows. The shows were next door in Fraserburgh, you know. They're away at the shows. In comes the manager after the game and that. Here's me and Scott and the Dodgers. Oh, flipping it. Oh, it's funny, like, you know. But it was just, like, stupid stuff, you know. And you think back now, what was going through your head, you know what I mean? But it's just banter, like, you know.
That's it. So, did I read that? You had to retire prematurely for football after a bad car crash at 27.
I had to give up football. So then I became working with footballers just as an agent, putting footballers all around the world, basically.
Aye.
So I was putting players to America, Malta, Sweden, Inverness Cali, Ross County, a lot of sort of teams in that, you know, so... working with like some Ruben Palazuelos that was at Hearts, Abdoulaye Mete, he was at West Bromwich Albion. You know, he was like a £40,000 a week player at one time, you know, and I took him to Ross County, so it's probably maybe one of the biggest signings ever to come to Ross County, you know. He was at Marseille.
How did you get into that?
Well, it was through I've got a good friend, Pavlin Panayotov. Pavlin, he's a football agent, so we got into it through that. And then the first player I took was Jack Harper, that was at Real Madrid. I know his brother Ryan, so I took Ryan to Inverness under Craig Brewster and that. So, but they didn't sign Ryan. But then after that, Ryan went on to Real Betis.
Okay, hi.
he went on to Real Betis. So, yeah. So it just shows you, you know, horses for courses. So then just got into it that way and then put Richie Hart, Michael Fraser, Paul McManus, Tam McManus's cousin and that. Put a lot of players over to Malta. Put some Maltese players over to Sweden and end up working a wee bit with Martin Rennie. Don't know if you've heard of him or not. He was the Falkirk manager there a bit. Martin's a coach at the Carolina Railhawks, so I spotted a boy in Malta when I was over there, and a boy called Etienne Barbara, so went over there and he won the Golden Boot. So that was really good, you know. So John Stewart, that was at Aberdeen. I took John. Actually, there's a wee story about John, if you want to hear that. We arrived in Malta and president of the club picks us up and we're on our way. John's in trial the next day at this club. I won't say which club, but he was at this trial and we were on our way and it was about maybe, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And it was in sort of middle of nowhere, really. And so there was this sort of outdoor club and people dancing in that and there's a bar and stuff like. So we passed it. It didn't look too far from where we were staying. And we were quite happy, you know, to sit in that night, you know, and John's in trial the next day at 3 o'clock to play in a game. And... So John looks at me and he says, oh, look, I'm really not fancy staying and the TV doesn't work, you know. You want to go out for a walk? I haven't gone out for a wee walk, John, you know. So we see this outdoor place with the bar and that. He's like, look, we'll have just one. All right, then we'll just have one then, and that'll be it. Just one though, John. Just one. One turned into two. Two turned into three. So we, I'm remembering he's got a game and that. Oh, come on, Jose, just one more. John, you got a game the next day. And oh, come on, come on. All right then, come on then. We'll just stay. So anyways, a few started going down. Ended up at a club, and then maybe about an hour and a half later, being maybe 2 hours later, being in this club, I hear this panting. Now, I didn't drink a lot, but when I did drink, I used to, like, you know, have a real bucket load, so I hear this panting, like this, so I'm like, so it woke me up, and, you know, all I can remember was being in this club. Next minute, I'm being woken up by this panting, and here's John Stewart, and he's pushing me up this bray in someone's wheelchair, right? And this is the point it's good against Aberdeen, Celtic, you know, like, you know, John, and, you know, and he's pushing me up this bray in a wheelchair, and I'm like, open my eyes, and I'm like, wait, what's going on? Like, he says, oh, Holmesy, like, God, what a shape you're in. Like, I can't carry you home, is this? He's kind of carry you home, but I find a wheelchair outside the nightclub. And I'm thinking, he's pushing me home in this bloody wheelchair. And I honestly have no idea to this day how he got us back to that apartment. And the wheelchair's probably still sitting out there. It was sitting out there the following day. So anyway, he goes and plays in this trial. And I couldn't believe it. He scored three goals. And the manager says to me, you know, and I was good friends with the manager and that, and the Maltese manager, and he says, obviously, God, the boy can score goals, but you told me he was quick. And I says, well, John is quick. But, you know, obviously, he must have seen that he was flagged a wee bit. He scored three goals. What more do you want? You know what I mean? I'd rather have someone that could put a ball in the net than someone that's quick and can't, you know? So he was like, but they didn't sign him, you know. So maybe that's but it was a great night out. That was one of the stories.
Brilliant.
But good banter, you know.
So how did the Mark Holmes Football Academy come about, and how has it expanded so wide?
Started in March 6, 2017. I just came up with an idea to try and bridge a gap between Cali, Thistle and Clark, maybe for young kids that were maybe not getting a game in the school team, maybe for someone that's been dropped from Clark, Ross County or Cali. So, and take all abilities, boys and girls. So, you know, it could be a kid with that's autistic or whatever, you know. So, everyone's welcome at the Football Academy. Yeah. So that started in March 6, 2017. So I put a notice out there just to see if I would get much interest. And first night, I had about 100 kids first night. So, So, and then it just really grew arms and legs from there, you know. And then in June, I was contacted by a boy called Solomon Owuzu, who was in Africa. Now, when I did the football agent stuff, I was always getting, you know, maybe African players contacting you and stuff. Yeah. So, but I just, I liked what this boy was saying on the phone and stuff. So I just said, look, if you can say, he says he had good players in his village. He's got a few four names in a sheet of paper. He has. He showed me with a wee list of four names, you know. And I says, look, if you can go out and build on that, I've started the Mark Holmes Football Academy in Inverness, like in Scotland. Maybe we could start up a Mark Holmes Football Academy over where you are, and just see what happens. So he was sending me training plans. He played football, he had coaching certificates and that, sending me what he was doing. I liked what he was doing. Everything was nice and technical. Everyone was with a ball. And I just, all the kids had loads of energy, smiley faces, enjoying, you know, what they were doing. So four names in a sheet of paper he started off with in June the 19th. And it just grew and grew, hundreds now, you know, and it's just,
brilliant.
The boy's done a great job for me over there, and now I provide school and accommodation for the kids over there as well, so, which has been very well supported by everyone in the Highlands and beyond, even people abroad are supporting it and that,
Amazing.
It's been well documented, you know, we're taking out a documentary on the academy and that.
And there's
a documentary, they've come, African film directors have come here, they've done the filming in Scotland and they're back in Africa and they're due to start in the next week and a half, where they'll be filming over in Africa for the roots the children have come from before they've reached my academy over there, and the difference it's making, you know. So
I don't know how often you've been out there, but I did sort of say to you in the lead up that I've done some work in Zimbabwe with schools, linked to schools out there, and it really is a different world, and where some of these kids are coming from is just, it's amazing compared to the kids that are here, the decade they're born.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, everything's very basic over there, you know, but I can honestly say that, you know, all I did was see smiley faces when I was over in Africa,
so happy,
you know. Really happy, you know, and so joyful, and I think I just felt such a community spirit when I went to the community, you know. Everything was just, you know, everybody was so welcoming, and I just, you know, I loved the food, the culture, the people, you know, and I tried to just adapt to the way they were over there, you know, and try and learn a wee bit of the language as well. You know, and yeah, I love my experience over there coaching the kids and seeing how things are developing over there and knowing where my money's going when I'm sending it. It really is. The boy Solomon Awuzu and the committee, there's maybe around about 13 people that are running it for me over there, and got sponsors, ADD Water and sponsor company, and that they've been really good, you know, and a herbal company as well. So so it's been really good and well reciprocated over there on television and radio as well, which is why the movies come about.
They're
doing a movie about it as well, because I had a wee boy, Albert, who was 8 years old, and he travelled from over 100 miles away in bare feet with his uncle hitching lifts. His uncle couldn't afford to feed him. He was an orphan. Albert is an excellent little footballer, you know, so we took him in the academy. And he's very good academical-wise, so I managed to get Albert into a private school over there, where I did a deal with the headmaster. So I said that I would provide him with all the best athletes of my football academy if we didn't have to pay for the children to go to school, you know. So I give him the best athletes, and it works that way, you know. So as long as they're academical, good, you know. But the regime out there is pretty, it is pretty strict, you know, but it works.
That private education for them can be the difference between a standard of life and no standard at all.
Without a doubt, definitely, you know. It's a big thing for me with the fan in the football academy, you know, and I even say to the kids here in Inverness, you know, same with your football, you get out of it what you put in it. It's very important to listen to your teachers and learn, you know, same with your coaches, you know, and the more the focus that they put into something, the more that they'll get out of it, you know. So for me, the education is very important on and off the field, you know.
Great. And you've had a bit of success with some of your players through the academies. Do you try and keep an eye on it on the Facebook? And now you've got some great coaches on board helping you as well.
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, I've got a lot of players that I've put, you know, they're in at Cali Thistle, Ross County, Clark, even one at Forest and Nairn. It's just sort of spread out the kids and that, you know. I've put one or two to one to Aberdeen, actually. He was there in trial and that as well. But yeah, it's just it's great to see the kids developing, you know, and that's what the academy's for. It's not that they'll stay at my academy forever. It's where they'll maybe get into their school team and they might move on, or they'll get into a club. You know, I promise kids nothing, you know, apart from just come here, work hard, you know, and they'll, what I can promise is that they will get better at football if they put the work in, you know, and teaching them good habits from an early age. And luckily enough, there's been quite a lot of kids that have progressed through my academy onto better things, you know.
Great. And I'm assuming this is a full-time job for you, the academy, but you're also combining this with being assistant manager at Strathspey.
Yeah, it is full-time, you know, trying to manage the things in Africa from this side to... you know, through a phone. And
nothing happens, you know, fast in Africa, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right, you know, and I know that with having one of my strikers, you know, we've got an offer from a European club for him, but unfortunately the embassy is holding things up at the moment, you know, so which is a 16-year-old striker, you know, so this is a bit of a...
There'll be 100 forms to fill in.
A hurting point, yeah, absolutely, you know, so yeah, it's holding things back, but hopefully it'll happen in the near future, you know, because the invitation is here for him, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just thoroughly enjoying being full-time in football and luckily enough to do it, and with the support of people in the Highlands and beyond, you know, kids coming from all directions, Fort Augustus and, you know, further afield, Cromdale, past Aviemore other places. So, yeah, got different academies around the Highlands and Aviemore, Bewley, Alness and Bregordon Way, and Inverness as well, and starting one in Wales. So, yeah, it's been all go. So it is full time and is a lot of work, and just joining Strathspey there as assistant, you know, it's thoroughly enjoying it. Results haven't been good, but you know, I am thoroughly enjoying it, and hopefully the boys will turn a corner soon, you know.
Aye, aye. It's a tough gig, but a bit of potential there.
Yeah, it's not even, you know, as it is, it can be very frustrating because there's actually some talented players at the club, you know, but it's just sometimes they're not gelling for one reason or another. But, you know, it's not for the want of us wanting the best from them, you know, and out of it, you know, it's just... we just got to keep, it's hard work that's going to, you know, turn the corner, and it's just what they have to do. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll be looking to bring in, you know, another 3 or 4 players anyway into the club if we can, you know, and just to try and bolster the squad. We're working with a tight squad and it's difficult. It's been shown a wee bit difficult at times, but, you know, it's certainly, you know, they're a hard-working club behind the scenes, you know, and... you know, we just have to, you know, really put that graft on the pitch, you know, and it's that that will get us hopefully results in the near future, you know.
And worst comes to worst, you can try them on the dog biscuit diet as well.
Absolutely, you might have to try that. Like, I'll be feeding more than dog biscuits if they don't start winning games. You know.
Mark, it's been fantastic hearing about your career. We move on to the, I always like to hear the best 11. If you could take me a quick run through the best 11 that you played with during your career, that would be great. I think you looks like you've gone for a 4-4-2, is it?
Well, I would put my, you know, and I've played with some good goalies, you know, but I put Mike Gray in goals. Only because he gave me a 10 earlier for saying his name. So
Oh, you mentioned him a couple of times, so you'll be skipped.
That's it, 20 quid he owes me now. Billy Skinner, across the bat for Doug Rugvey.
Okay, where did you play with Doug at?
Bucky, he came to Bucky for a little while. We played Rangers, and I think he was man of the match. But I think Doug was about 60.
He'd have been
then,
a fair age by then.
He was, like, he was in his 40s, you know. But I remember him turning up with a pair of Sambas and a bomber jacket, you know, with the teeth missing, you know. And it was just like, you know, straight out of Berlini, you know. Doug Rugvey, he was solid, you know. And Martin Corrigan, he was at Falkirk. Julian Broddle, he played in England and that as well. Played with Ross County. Then Ian Anderson in the middle of the park, across the park. Ian Anderson, he went on to Toulouse. He played at Preston maybe as well. But Ian was a gifted player, very good.
I remember when he came on the scene at Dundee, wasn't it? And he was tipped to be sort of Scotland's big hope, but never quite worked for him. But he got a good move out to Italy, didn't he? France even, and
France,
down in England for a long time.
That's right, and he was a nice lad too, you know. But I mean, at that time, there was quite a few good players they had at the time, you know. Stephen Ferguson at Ross County, played with Stephen, and Gary Facker as well, you know. Gary was a good technical player, you know, it could have been, you know, Levi could have been in there too, you know, but just gone for that too in the middle there. And on his day, you know, Marco de Barros, you know, when he had his head together, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, Marco could tear defences apart, you know, on his day, you know. But, you know, his head had to be in it at times, you know. But for me, I got on well with Marco, and he was a confident sort of type of player, I think, an arm round the shoulders type of guy. Yeah, I, you know, and that's the way I saw him. And
you don't know where he is, is he? By all accounts, he's supposed to miss it.
I don't know where he is.
Nobody
is
knows. Nobody knows. Even Martin Stewart, who knows Abdi, he didn't know where he was.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I need to try and trap him down. Then.
Yeah.
I need to try and trap Marco down. Like,
get
you owe
reward.
Me a tenner to you for putting saying his name. And I'll go for Frank Farina up front. Frank played with Bruges and Barry.
I was saying, is he still playing when he managed you?
He's a player manager. And also I'll go for Jerry Creaney. He came back from the Man City, you know, and played up front with him. So yeah, I would go for them too. But again, you know, maybe even Scott Kelleher did well up front as well. Scotty Kell and that, you know. But there could be a few other names as well, but I'll go for them two up front, so it's not a bad team, you know.
Good team, isn't it? Who your gaffers would you bring in to manage that team?
Alan Scott.
Billy assistant.
Yeah, absolutely. good guys, you know, and I think they knew how to get the best out of players, you know. And they saw, and I think that's what they recognised, you know, who they can give a rollicking to and who they can put an arm around, you know. They work well together, you know.
And who'd skipper that side?
Doug Rugby.
Doug Rugby, aye.
If
it'd be you, if you were in the squad, would you get many games in that team? You'd get in for Marco, wasn't I feeling it?
Oh, I shove Marco out, stick me right in there. Aye, for sure, definitely.
Great.
Yeah.
This team are in their prime. If you dropped them into Fit by the Day, how far do you think they'd be playing? How far could they go?
Do you know what? I mean, you know, Billy Skinner was at Dundee United before. Doug Rugby, obviously, you know, he did what he did at Chelsea and Aberdeen and that. You know, Martin went on to play. But, you know, I mean, Marco, you know, most of these guys, you know, they all played professional football, you know. Mike Gray, you know, I mean, I think Mike could have gone further in the game out of it, you know, everyone else seemed to go quite far in the game. But I think, you know, with Mike being in the Rangers youths and around that sort of era and that, I think
he was unlucky with injuries at the wrong time doing it at Rangers as well, by what he told me.
I'm sure, like, you know, I don't really know much about that, but I know that, you know, I do think that you could have made it as a professional, you know, for sure, you know, at a senior level, you know, with a senior side, you know, I think that he could have, you know, if he ate less dog biscuits. But it was always, Mike was solid in goals, you know, he always... It always gave sort of confidence and reassurance for that back four and the boys in front, you know, that, you know, if there is a chance for the other team, that, you know, there's a good chance might get it, you know.
Great. Well, I was finishing up with some quick fire questions just to round it off. And just the first thing that comes into your head, it's quick fire. So the first thing is, one thing you would change about football to improve it?
Don't just go for size.
No. Okay. Who would you like to play you when they make the movie of your life?
Oh, Ally McCoist.
Okay. One other club you wished you could have played for?
Rangers.
Okay. The toughest direct opponent you ever came up against on the pitch?
Toughest. Probably Doug Rugby. Played against him when he was at Huntley.
Aye.
And he put a studs right down my back.
Let you know he's there.
And that is the day that I wish he had the sambas on.
Okay, if you could bottle one moment of your career to relive, what would it be?
Oh, just going back to Australia.
Aye. Quality. Okay, very last question. Which pro player, past or present, do you think was most like your style, attributes and personality on the pitch?
Well, they, for some reason, my agent was promoting me as a Jackie McNamara.
Okay.
That's the way, even though we played, you know, but a lot of the time, when sometimes when I went on trial, they were playing me as a wing-back.
Ah, right, okay,
aye. You know, but I had that sort of engine.
Aye.
You know, I had that sort of engine, yeah.
There's worse players you could get compared to, I'm sure.
Ah, yeah, but that's what he was, yeah.
Not sure getting sold, that's
it. I was more sort of like a flair sort of player, sort of like, you know. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, that's us, Mark. Thank you very much for giving up your evening and coming on. It's been great to hear the stories and all about it. And all the best for you, the future in the academy. And if I can link up and help in any way with the Ghana stuff, just give me a shout.
Great, James. Thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Well, a big thank you to Mark for coming on the show. As always, it seemed like he was a much-loved character around the dressing room and with the people he played with. So it was great to have him on and hear some of those stories, the repeatable ones anyway. You can catch up with the podcast on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages. Please do send us a message or feedback, any guest suggestions, or if you want to come on yourself, fire them to me. They are very much well-received, and I'm always looking for new guests to join me. Reviews are also welcome at your podcast provider, so don't be shy to leave a 5-star review as well. And that's really about us for this week, so I'll just sign off. Bye for now.